Masters. Let's get the Rocket E as well. Yes, absolutely.
I'm keen on a few.
Rocket E wants to listen to those tips tomorrow, but he's keen to talk about footy today. He joins us again on the Breakfast Club. Good morning, Rocket.
Morning, Daniel. How are you, mate?
I'm very well, thank you. Very well indeed. Now, tell me, Whitey and I were talking about this yesterday, in fact, about local footy and the impact it's having on the community, getting it back out there, which is fantastic. You're involved at local level. What's happening in the Mighty Baldwin Tigers? When are they kicking off?
Well, we're the only competition that starts Saturday week. Everyone else is starting this weekend, so I'm not too sure why we're starting a week later than anybody else. I hear that Keilor last week, that's Mick McGuan's team, I think they had about 7,000 people to their game, which is great. So, yeah, that's what the rumour was. So I think it was a good Friday game. So I think a few comps had good Friday games.
Yep.
Yeah, I think there's a real desire for the local footy. I think the people really want to get out and see it and support their local teams and have a look, have a beer and a pie and all those sorts of things. So it'll be good.
Yeah, there's some big numbers in country footy as well because that started over the Easter weekend. Some big results and some big shocks, but it's just awesome to have a footy back.
It certainly is. Like a level, grassroots sport is a very, very important part of community activities. What about in the AFL? We go to the top level, Rocket. Is it a big enough sample size now for 3 weeks to know if what Steve Hocking has introduced has changed the game forever or if the coaches have decided that they might want to jump on board and do something about it too?
I think we've seen a bit of mixture, mainly attack, more trying to score. I think the Hawthorn-Geelong game is a bit of the, like we saw Hawthorn the week before against Richmond. We spoke about the coaches can close the game down if they like, which was a bit of a bore fest really on Monday for quite a while, probably for at least two quarters, maybe three quarters.
Yep.
Because Geelong just played that extra play in defence the whole time. Hawthorn did as well, so they were happy just to defend that and lower scores. But I think generally, I think teams are trying to score. I think if you don't try and score and you try and close it down, and you'll stay in the game, but I don't think you'll end up winning. So I think it's changed the game back to what it was, I don't know, 10, 12 years ago when there was a fair bit of free flow. Teams can still defend. Teams can still tackle. Some of the teams, like Carlton the previous week, had, 40 tackles, 35 tackles. I mean, their defensive nature of their game dropped away. So I think you can do both. It just allows the teams with the ball, if they want to be able to move it quickly, they can. And obviously stoppages are down, so players who rely on stoppages have got to adjust their game because there's got to be more to it than just actually jogging over to a stoppage all the time. So I think you'll find that teams, players will adjust. They're smart enough that they'll adjust, but I think it's good for the game.
So, Rocket, when we look at the fact of scoring, it seems to be a bit of a theme at the moment that teams that are scoring heavily are very dangerous, which is obviously sort of staying the obvious. But are there teams that you think that are around the mark that are going to be left behind because they haven't sort of kept up with the Joneses? And we're seeing Sydney winning by kicking well over 100 points, and then we're seeing Collingwood maybe as a team that's trying to hold on and win 70 to 55 or something like that. Are there teams that are on notice for not being able to score?
I think there is a bit of that. I think Geelong's one of those. They've won two games by less than a goal and maybe probably should have lost the Brisbane one for sure. And they seem to be just hanging in there as trying to get on the rebound, trying to get on the turnover and trying to defend heavily first, really get numbers back. Mm. So I think Collingwood, if you can't score, it's really going to be an issue. And there'll be teams, there'll be blowouts. Essendon's an interesting one. They can score, so they'll be dangerous, but they could have bad days. They could have bad days. St Kilda, to me, they've got some issues. Last year they scored heavily because they went quick and no one else did. Now everyone's going quick and they can't defend. So you've got to get that balance right. Interesting one for me, and I think we discussed it last year, was that, and we spoke, I think it was about Geelong, that if you got the ball in quickly and get them one-on-one, they struggle to defend one-on-one. And I think it's coming to the fore now that players have struggled one-on-one defending because they've relied so much on their teammates rolling off their opponents to come to support in the air, especially in the air. So you'd always get a 2-on-1 or a 3-on-2 in the air, and it was difficult for forwards. Now it's quicker ball movements favouring the forwards, but defenders, some of the defenders are really struggling 1-on-1. They can't defend 1-on-1. I saw some forwards at weekend who were kicking multiple goals. Really, they shouldn't have been able to kick the goals. They should have been able to be defended. So that'll really, teams now have got to get to work individually and do development with players that they can defend 1-on-1.
We were talking to Jimmy about this yesterday, I think it was, Rocket, and he was talking about referencing that conversation with Sydney and the way that they've been taught through the Paul Roos, John Longmire sort of areas where it's very much, it's 1-on-1. They play man-on-man defence and that's what they know. So this evolution of the game that really requires you to be able to play that almost plays into their hands.
Yeah, it does. You know, I think Sydney are a little bit different. They always wanted to have a drop-off player to support. You know, it was Rampy or someone else would always drop off. They play 1-on-1 the rest of the ground. And that zone defence they probably didn't employ like other teams. I don't think the zone defence is dead. I think it'll be a combination of both, and it'll take a bit more planning and a bit more coaching and a bit more development of when. To me, it's dangerous ground versus non-dangerous ground. So players have got to have another layer of education to, oh, he's non-dangerous, I can drop off him. I can guard some space. He's in a dangerous position where I've got to lock on hard. And everyone's trying to block the 45. Maybe that's more to go to man-on-man there. So you don't give him any opportunity. You've got to get them to kick long.
Yep.
So I think there's a bit of both. But I think if there's quick ball movement, the defenders in the back 50 have really got to be tight and be able to see if they can defend 1-on-1. That's what I'm talking about, those players who struggle 1-on-1 inside the back 50.
So have you identified teams in three rounds, Rocket, that seem to be benefiting from these new rule changes and the way the game's being played, and teams that are going to be copping at the neck on the back of it? Is it the teams that stand out to you either way that are affected by what's happening?
Seems obvious the Sydney one to me. I think Adelaide, who just played it, you know, they last six games, eight games last year, they really tried to move the ball quickly, which I thought was a really positive. A team that hadn't won a game, instead of, some coaches we've seen, if your team's struggling, it's about shut the game down and let's stay within touch. We don't lose by as much, we're going to lose. Adelaide took the view, oh, well, let's try and win. And I think it was good for development for younger players. So they took the game on and they won three games. We're in another three or four at the end of the year. And I think they've really gained an advantage, because I reckon they practiced it last year with even without the man the mark rule.
Yep.
And they look terrific and their pressure's good. Obviously, Sydney's the one that surprised everyone and surprised me as well, because they've been a defensive side. I think they've got the defensives in their DNA, so they know how to defend. But the thing for me is, how good at kicks are they? And that's the thing that's going to take advantage of. I remember we spoke about the Essendon-Hawthorn game round one, and everyone said it was a great game, but there were so many turnovers. Both teams were missing targets. Under this rule, if you can keep the ball off the opposition by having been a good kicking side, you're going to slice teams open.
Yeah.
And that's what Sydney have got more than anyone else, which is the younger players, and Dawson off halfback, which has probably been a bit unsung there when everyone's talking about Goulden and Warner and a few other ones, but Mills is a good kick. So they're good kicks, and they can kick it 50 metres, and they're split teams open because they roll from the man of the mark. They've got no pressure on them, and they're splitting teams open, and that's the teams who can kick the ball well are the ones that are going to hurt the opposition.
So I've got a question for both of you, both being coaches. You get to round three, and the game looks like it's being played differently to what perhaps was anticipated only a month ago because of these rule changes. Can you change your game plan within a season? And it might take 4 weeks, it might take 8 weeks, it might take 2 weeks to try and stay up with a trend? Or are you so committed to what you've been planning over the summer that you've just got to go with what you've got?
Oh, I think you can change, and you're going to have to change. There's no doubt. And you've got tweaks, as Damien Hardwick said. You've got to do something. To me, I found it odd with a few teams that you couldn't see this coming. I would have thought some ahead of the game are saying, okay, let's take advantage of it. I think some clubs have gone, oh, yeah, it will be quicker, but it'll be like normal. It'll be okay. But So I think defensively some teams have been caught short, but I think certainly some teams are not taking advantage of it as well as they should have. So they're going to have to do tweaks, because if you're so committed to your game plan, which is not working, I know it's only a small sample yet, but just say you get to round six and it's not changed, you're actually going to get the same result. So you need to do tweaks, and you can do it. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, 100%. You plan a plan that doesn't work, I would suggest you do something about that, because the game has changed, not necessarily your plan.
No, that's right.
It might
right.
be a good plan in the old version, but the way that's played, it hasn't quite catered for it. You've got to be able to adjust on the fly, otherwise you'll lament at the bottom of the table, and that's no good for anyone.
But there's tweaks and there's an overhaul, because often you'll hear coaches say, we can't do too much because we've been training this for 6 months and this and that.
That's garbage.
No.
They do say that, though.
That is true.
No, they do say that. But the thing is, isn't it the form of idiocy, of lunacy, that if you keep doing the same thing, get the same result, but you don't change? The other thing I think Brisbane are one that is suffering from it as well. I've watched them. They play around the boundary. They generally have been a defensive team with their ball movement. They don't come through the historically. And I've watched them. They've stayed in games. The Geelong game and the weekend against the Collingwood should have won that. Collingwood had more of the ball, more positive play, but just couldn't score. But Brisbane just go around the boundary. I think that'll catch them out. And teams who want to do that and don't open the game up they won't score enough. So I think Brisbane have got to have some tweaks to their game, to be honest.
Yeah, I think it's a fair point. Tomorrow night, Rocket, we've got Sydney and Essendon too. Very interesting teams this year. Before we let you go, I mean, Sydney are flying and the most prolific scoring team in football at the moment. And the Bombers have been up and down a bit, but as you said, are quite capable in moments of the game. Have you got a bit of an inkling as to how that might unfold that game?
You would think if attitude is equal for both teams, comes in the right attitude, you'd think Sydney are going to win that on that small ground. I think they'll be able to put enough pressure on Essendon. Essendon can score quickly, but I think if they get a bit behind, you tend to worry about run-ons against Essendon. I don't think they've got a plan at the moment to stop run-ons of the opposition. Now, they seem to be at this stage, everything's going well. They'll jump on and score themselves, going the other way a bit tighter. So I think they might give a yelp early, but I reckon the Swans at home, Franklin back. Not that he's going to be their main player anymore, which is good for them. Just adds for the cherry on the top. But I think their ability to kick the ball, I think the Swans can win that easily.
Well, it's a start of round four tomorrow night. Great insight from you as always, Rodney. Nice to chat. We'll catch you next week.
Okay, mate. See you, mate. See you, Adam.
Good stuff.
Thanks, Rocket.